prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful for you. I know many have reached out, whether in messages or letters, and saying that you're praying for us, and that means a lot. And for those, I guess we've added some children probably since the last time we were here. And we have all their names on the prayer card and on the back. But I have my wife, Elizabeth, and she's going to take care of our youngest three in the back. We have Stephen, who's 10 months old. I think I can hear him calling for his mom there. And then Micah is 2 years old, and he loves running around. If you have food on you anywhere, he's going to sniff it out, and he will find it. And he loves people, and he loves sharing snacks with them. And then our daughter Julia is 3. She will be 4 years old in just a few weeks, and she's back there. And then we have our daughter Anna, going from youngest to oldest. Anna is 5 years old, and enjoying some school and seeing a lot of new places. And then her brother Josiah, he is 6, and he's my right-hand man, a big help around the house and many things. And then let's see, Rachel's over there with her Nana, and she is 7 years old already. And I know, I think the first time we started coming over here, she was 3, something like that, quite little. And so it's a wonderful blessing to see the Lord growing the family. Well, what I'll plan to do is I'll share the video first, and then I'll fill in a few details beyond that. And if you have any questions, we'll have a brief time for that. And then I'll share some ways that you can pray for missions at the end. So let me see if I can get this going. Let's see, here we go. All right, you tell me when you see it. Something other than black. We'll look for my face. Got me? All right, here we go. And I'll hold the mic here so we can hear it.
Hello, where are you?
We're getting sound on the podium, pulpit.
For missionaries, the Schertzer family. In 2016, God called us to serve him in the country of Belize. And in 2018, our family moved here. Belize is located in Central America. And for many years, Belize was known as British Honduras. But then in 1981, the colony was granted its independence and officially named Belize. The official language here is English, so we can freely speak to most people. But many people speak 2 or 3 other languages, such as Spanish, Maya, the local dialect of Creole.
Our family lives in the capital city of Belmopan. There are about 30,000 people living in Belmopan, which really makes it one of the smallest capitals in the world. This area has that small town feel. You'll see the same cashier at the store when you go shopping every time you go. You'll wave at neighbors as you're driving down the street, and you'll run into people you know while you're at the gas station. God has put such a deep love in our hearts for this community and this country.
Over the past few years, God has been focusing our vision in 2 specific directions. First, the church. And in 2019, God led us to start Faith Baptist Church. In February of 2023, we began the official charter membership. And it has been a joy to watch Jesus building his church here in Belmopan. As we interact with people, we have observed that each person is in a different stage of belief and understanding of God. So I've broken them down into stages of belief so you can help us pray for the believers and the unbelievers that God has brought into our lives. The first stage, I'll call the Berean stage. This stage reminds us of the people from Berea in Acts 17, verse 11, who they received the word of God and searched his scriptures daily. Most of the core membership in our church falls into this stage. We have seen them searching the scriptures on their own each day. Many of them have gone through an extensive discipleship program. They are faithfully involved in the weekly Bible studies, and they memorize scripture. The youth do Bible challenges through our Baptist countrywide youth rallies, and we frequently discuss the things that they are learning and often pray together as we seek the Lord. In this stage, we also see people responding to the truths of God's word by serving and loving others. They do this by helping each other, encouraging each other, reminding each other to be in God's word, and enjoying fellowship with each other. They're also learning how to teach the word of God to each other within the church. They love and serve our community by sharing the gospel through our weekly outreaches and even in annual events like a VBS or giving out police care packets, Easter and Christmas programs, hospital visits, and our big back to school event. This past year, we have seen their love and service reach into the world as they have started faithfully giving each month to worldwide missions. In the month of November 2023, we voted as a church family to financially support our first missionaries. We also observed that those in this stage are obeying God by confessing their sins and learning how to put them away. They're sensitive to weekly preaching and often take notes as they learn and grow. They're becoming more open about the sins that hinder their fellowship with God. They're seeing ways to change the patterns that they have of sin and become more like Jesus Christ. We are seeing God sanctify them as they humbly seek His help. Lastly, those in this stage demonstrate a faithfulness to seek and worship God through the church services. They love to worship Him each week by driving the bus, participating in the services, helping with the kids' classes, helping the elderly, and welcoming newcomers. It is a joy to hear them singing songs of love and worship to their God. And they also faithfully worship through giving to support the work of the church. And we thank God for this core group of believers who are walking in the truth. Please pray for them to remain faithful as they love and serve Him. The second stage, I'll call the Corinthian stage. These believers remind us of the people in the Corinthian church. Paul calls them brethren, but he also rebukes them for their carnal-mindedness. We've observed that those in this stage occasionally search the scriptures on their own, but they're really more interested in earthly entertainments. They're drawn to their personal comforts, personal desires come first before seeking God through His word. We've also noticed that those in this stage will serve and love others, but it's usually only when they find it necessary or convenient. They would prefer to do their own thing rather than commit to serving others. Those in the Corinthian stage are often sad over their sin, but they aren't willing to make the changes that will help them overcome those sins. They tend to justify their sin patterns and make excuses for them. And lastly, we also see those in this stage somewhat consistent to seek God and worship through church services. But it's not uncommon that if things come up on Sunday, the chores or the events in their life are just more important than the corporate worship of God. So would you please pray for those in this stage? We often ask God to help them deepen their desire to know Him more and more. Now the final stage, I'll call the unbeliever stage. We frequently interact with those in this unbeliever stage while in our community, and they remind us of those described by Jesus in John 12:48, where He says, "They have rejected Him and not received His words." The people in this stage just don't believe that the Bible is God's word written for us today. They don't believe in loving and serving everyone, even our enemies. And they don't believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father to save them from their sins. They don't even believe that the church is a group of people gathering together to worship God and to edify each other. As we seek to reach those in this stage of belief, please pray with us for their salvation. There are many in our community and in our country. While we observe these stages in the hearts of people around us, we also know that these stages of belief are not unique to Belize alone. In fact, these stages of belief dwell in the hearts of mankind in every nation, language, and culture. So may we pray for our own hearts and the hearts of all these people around the world to be walking in Berean belief.
While the church has been our main focus here in Belize, God has really been opening up a second vision, And this is in the area of discipleship through Christian education. In 2020, I began my first step really into developing this area of our ministry through starting a homeschool association. We have seen God use this in really unique ways. It's been benefiting both national as well as foreign Christian families who are turning to homeschooling really for the purpose of protecting their children from the worldly philosophies that are in the public school systems here. And these we know are all over the world. So we meet weekly for practical classes on life skills, science, experiments, and such. We have a small homeschool library that we've developed. We take field trips, we do field days. And then I also have had the opportunity this year to begin evaluating some of these homeschool children throughout the year. Developing the association has given me a lot of opportunity to study and really understand the educational system of Belize. But then in 2021, God gave us a really special gift. He brought two retired Belizean school administrators into our church body, and they have just been a wealth of knowledge and information concerning the educational system here. As a church, we've done reading programs and tutoring for children in the community, and really we've seen these hitting a very important need in this area of educating children in the ways of God. So God has burdened our hearts greatly for starting a Christian school so we can evangelize and disciple children in His ways.
As we look toward the future of God's work here in Belize, we have three goals for the next 5 years. Firstly, we desire to see the core church body of those in the Berean stage strengthen and grow. We're praying that they are able to pass the truths that they are learning on to others. We also are praying that those in the other stages of belief will walk in a deeper and a richer faith with God. Secondly, we are renting at our current location, so we are searching for a place for a church building and for a future Christian school. We have looked at several properties and are seeking the Lord for wisdom on where He would have us establish His work permanently. Thirdly, we are planning a building design that will serve with the dual purpose of church and a school. Our desire is to see the building completed in the next 5 years and then the school started within the next 5 to 10 years. Thank you for faithfully supporting God's work here in Belize with your prayers and your finances over these past 5 years. We ask you to continue to pray with us as we seek to fulfill the vision that God has given us for Belmopan. May the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified as we labor together in His service. And while we live here on this earth, may Jesus Christ come quickly. May He find us faithfully watching and waiting for Him.
We are very thankful for prayer, and as we've said before, I'll use the lapel so I can walk around. We know this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous. I'll raise it up here. How's that? All right. And one of the blessings we've seen God doing in our lives and over those past 5 years is in providing for the future land for the church. We've been renting a building, and it has been a phenomenal location for our needs these past several years. But we're getting to the point where we're starting to outgrow for certain things. Some services, the last few weeks, we were about 50 people there, and it fits comfortably, but as the weather gets warmer, and when I say warmer, I mean like 107, and so it is too much for all of us packing in that small space. And sometimes we'll have events with over 100 people and we just can't fit. We have to put the kids on one side and adults in another area. And so we really believe that the Lord will provide for us a property in the near future. He's provided for the finances. Hey, Josiah and Anna, you guys settle down. He's provided for the finances for the land. And we actually, just in November, we made an offer on a plot of land. It was 5.5 acres. And a pretty reasonable offer, close to what they were asking. And as we were doing that as a church, we prayed together for it. and that if it was God's will that they would accept our lower offer. And they responded back that they are really holding for their high asking price right now. And so we see that as a wait. And maybe that's the property that God has for us, or maybe there is another location. And there have been a couple other options that have come up. There's a Christian school in the area that we've actually talked about. They're in town, and talked about the possibility if they would be willing to sell. And again, it's something we'll pursue, Lord willing, when we come back to Belize. And just pray that God will direct us to the right location. Anna, I want you to go over and sit with Nana on that side. Thank you. And so pray with us that God will give us wisdom. One of the things that I can use your prayer for is struggling between what I want and what God wants. And sometimes I have a vision and I say, God, I want to do this. We want a school. We want to have this right now. And so I say, well, there's land. Well, we could buy that. We could make that work. But the theme verse for our church in Belize is 1 Corinthians 2:5. And the Bible says there that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you know, it's a powerful reminder to me. We have that on the wall for our church, and I look at that every time I go in and study, and it reminds me how if it's just man's wisdom, it's going to come to nothing. As Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so pray for God's direction in those areas, making those decisions, and that we'll have boldness to go that way, but that it'll be the direction God wants for us. And we are excited. God has opened so many opportunities through Christian education. Elizabeth mentioned in the video talking about the Homeschool Association and meeting people. And because before COVID, homeschool really wasn't much of an option to Belizeans. And it's just kind of coming around the last several years for Belizean families. Up to that point, people like us, expatriates who are from other countries living there, would homeschool their kids. But now Belizeans are really starting to catch on, and they're seeing, wow, we can do this. And some of the progressive education in the last few years has been mandated in the government with some of the gender identity and things, and it's concerning a lot of parents, and so they're looking for another option. And we've had people contacting us, hey, how do we homeschool? What can we do? And Elizabeth has, in some ways, she's helping the government writing the book on homeschooling. We were contacting them to say, what can we do to homeschool legally here or to assist Belizeans? And they told us, we looked through the Belizean Constitution, and all they had in the Constitution as of 2022 was a line that says, we make provision for homeschooling. And that was all they had, no regulation, no instructions. And so the government is working on that. And Elizabeth has actually talked to the heads of the Ministry of Education for our country. It's the benefit living in the capital city. We're relatively nearby some of these individuals. And they've said to her, well, we're putting some things together right now. Call us back next year because we want to go through it with you and see how this will mesh with homeschooling. And we've done some things on our side. Elizabeth made a guide for how to fill out the government's application form and how to get permission. And the government actually took that form and just changed it a tiny little bit and put it on their official website as their guide for how you can homeschool. And it's neat to see the Lord opening some of those doors. And then obviously, Lord willing, that interaction with the government on the area of education, we pray will open doors for us to start then a Christian school for the community as well. We want to see young people reached with the gospel and then Christian homes be able to have a godly education for their children. And so our vision in the next several years is really kind of laying the foundation for that, getting the location, working on that building, and then being ready to open the doors in God's plan. And we appreciate your prayers. A lot of wisdom. In some ways, it's kind of nervous to me as I look at the magnitude of that task, but I know that with God in it, all things are possible. And so we look forward to reporting over the next several years as step by step the Lord provides for that. This time, before I share a few words on how you can pray for us and really pray for missionaries in general, are there any questions about the ministry there or something from the video that might have come to mind?
Anything specifically right now that you need?
All right. I would say really just the land and then preparation for the building. We have our vehicle now. Lord willing, the vehicle we have outside, we're planning to bring that back as a family vehicle. And so God's really taking care of. We need your prayers. I think wisdom for those decision process and to see God opening the doors, even with the 5.5 acres, if the Lord would put on their heart to lower their price to contact me back, that direction would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, so Belize operates on a dollar as well. They do Belize dollars, and their currency exchange is 2-to-1. So 2 Belize dollars is equal to 1 US dollar. And we actually, on the display table back there, we've got all the, well, most of the denominations. You can look at some of the bills and some of the coins. And because they were a British protectorate, they have Queen Elizabeth on their currency. But I appreciate a 2-to-1 exchange because I can do the math pretty easy on that. And they accept U.S. dollars most places. So if I have U.S. cash laying around, I can use that and get change back and forth. So it's very convenient on that side. And because they're English-speaking, traveling in and out, dealing with government paperwork, it's all in English, which makes it easy to navigate. Kind of some both. So fresh fruits and vegetables are pretty close, and some things would be cheaper. We have pineapples year-round and mango most of the time. So some of the more tropical fruits we would have. Apples and things from the north in the U.S., that's imported, so that's a higher price to us. Cost of fuel, right when we left, it was right around 7 U.S. per gallon for fuel. So gasoline is a lot more expensive. Anything that's brought in, so vehicle parts, electronics, things like that, tools, they're all brought down and marked up. Most, by the time it gets to the shelf, it's probably double or more what you could pay for things in the States. And so that is a little bit of a challenge. Sometimes, though, I found a company that ships things down reasonably, and it's cheaper for me to buy something on Amazon and have it shipped down as long as I can wait 2 or 3 weeks for it. And then I'll get it there. I pay my shipping and import duty on that. And it's still less than if I were to just buy it by the store. I can save maybe 50% of what the store price is, or 25% off or so. And so that's been a big help. As long as I just, you know, it's a part I don't need critically, I'll wait for it that way. All right. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
So you guys have 4 of your kids in
Belize? Yes. Okay, excellent. It's pretty black and white. There's public hospitals and then there's private hospitals. So the public hospitals are government run. It's kind of a socialized medical system, and it's very up and down. You could get a quality care, but there's a lot of instances where they just don't have resources or training or supplies. Like if you need blood, you actually have to call somebody in and they have to donate so that you can get blood of another kind for it. And so we constantly get messages throughout the church or area, hey, I need blood, can someone come and donate so that they'll give me some for my transfusion or my surgery or what I need. And things like that in the government hospital. In the private side, there's some really good quality private hospitals. In our city, there's a nice one where the 4 children have been born. When we first started going there, they had 3 patient rooms, and they've expanded. I think they have 9 or 14 now, but excellent, excellent run facility. And so thankfully with us in our missions agency, we have international insurance. And so we can use that with insurance, and that is a big blessing. A lot of the Belizeans, though, they can't afford private medical. So, like, even a family in our church, they're expecting a baby this month in about 3 weeks. They've been going to the private hospital for checkups, and they can afford, I think it's 30 U.S. dollars for each checkup visit. But then the delivery and the birth, to them, it would be somewhere around 1,000 U.S. dollars, and that's pretty high for them. And so they're going to go to the public hospital, and there, since it's socialized, they can have the birth free of charge, or maybe they pay some of the supplies and they bring, but nearly free for them. And so sometimes people will do that, or they'll go to private and get diagnosed, and then they'll go to public for treatment. But it's not just across the board as good quality as here. All right, maybe one more question, and then I think we'll have about time. Okay. somewhere around 50, 58, right between 50 and 60. We just had a new church in February voted to take us on, and that was a big blessing. And so we're thankful for that. All right, well, take your Bibles really quick, and I want to share with you, these really apply to church as well as missions and really all aspects of life, and we'll go through these pretty quickly this evening, but to see how to pray for missionaries. And you could really apply it, how to pray for each other, how to pray for your pastor and his family. And open to Colossians chapter 4. We'll see. We're going to look through some of the New Testament prayers of the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys, and really prayer requests that he has for the church. And so as he requests these things, and I read them, we come after, we can be encouraged to pray the same thing. So we'll turn to Colossians 4, verse 2. So five ways that we can pray for one another in the area of serving God, or pray for missions. And the first way is found in Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3, and that is to pray for open doors, that God would open doors for the gospel to go forward. Look what we're reminded here in Colossians 4, starting in verse 2. The Bible says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds." And so Paul's writing there and saying, pray for us that God would open a door of utterance, the opportunity for us to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And he's not praying this from a Bible campaign where he's coming from hundreds of people visiting and getting saved and falling down. He's praying from prison. "I've been put in prison for preaching the gospel," but keep praying. Pray that God will open the doors so that we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, today, many times we don't face the bars of a prison between us and being able to go and talk to someone about Christ. We face things like our own inadequacy, our own shyness, our fear of what somebody else would think. And don't think that just because your pastor is pastor or that I'm a missionary that we don't have a fear of what would this person think. Satan can put that doubt, or maybe we fear, I'm not going to have the answer. I'm going to seem foolish. But we want to pray for open doors that we can go through. And God will give those open doors if we seek them. And so pray for that. But then as we pray for open doors, when you pray for something, you better expect that God's going to answer. And so be ready. When God opens that door, then don't say, "Oh, no, I didn't expect you were going to answer so soon." But to say, "Oh, wow, God, you've given an opportunity." The cashier at the grocery store, or the person who's broke down needs a help with a tire change or a ride. And to say, "God, I believe you've put this person in my life so that I can share the gospel." And it's amazing to see, in our church, it never seems to fail that as we go out faithfully on Saturdays, some of the young men and I in the church, and go visiting and inviting people to church and sharing the gospel, it's been a very rare thing that somebody has come directly from us visiting them, and then the next Sunday, the next day, that they're there in church or that they trusted Christ as their Savior. But it doesn't cease to amaze me that as we do that, God brings visitors from other places. "How'd you hear about us?" "Oh, well, we just found you online, or saw a Facebook, or found a tract at a store." And God is bringing people in. And when we're faithful, if something happens and we had to, stop our outreach for a little while, it seems that falls off. And I thank God, but we're going out and people are turning us away, or no one's receiving the gospel. But God's bringing people because of that faithfulness. And so may we pursue those open doors. God knows if we're faithful in going through open doors, he will provide those who will want to be growing spiritually. So pray for open doors for your missionaries. Then secondly, pray for boldness. If you look over at Ephesians chapter 6, we see a prayer for boldness. Again, if you have an open door, but we're too afraid to go through it, it doesn't do much good. So we want that opportunity to share the gospel. But then also pray for us that we have the boldness to share God's word. And think about this. This is Paul the Apostle. Probably, I think, one of my heroes in the faith, one of the boldest guys ever. I would have loved to be the guy who, drove the truck or the van for Paul and said, "This is my friend, Paul, Apostle Paul. He's going to tell you about Jesus," and go at him. And to know he just was a bold man for God. He didn't back down. And when they stoned him and drug him out of the city, he got back up by the power of God and he went back in to the same place. I think I would have been looking for what other city I could go to. But he boldly went back there. And yet, listen to what he says here, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. A lot of prayers there, but look at verse 19. And for me, pray for me. Whoops, sorry. Paul, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I'm bold. Pray that I don't decide it's not this time, not today. They wouldn't want to hear what I have to say. But pray that I'm bold. You know, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of faith in God to put yourself in a situation time in, time out where you're going to be attacked for the cause of Christ. You know, I'm thankful in Belize people are respectful to the Word of God. Not always necessarily receptive, but there is a respect for that. Sometimes that respect is hidden behind the facade of a religion that doesn't save, but there's a respect. There's not too many people that just yell at us or try to drive us away, and that happens from time to time. But pray for a boldness. Pray for your pastor for boldness as he talks to people about Christ. And God will answer those prayers. So pray for open doors, then pray for boldness. Thirdly, this evening, pray that God's word will spread. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll see two of them here, back to back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Pray that God's word may have free course, that God's word will go forward. You know, when we hear from Jesus about the parable of the seed and the soils, we know that Satan wants to take God's word and he wants to whisk it out of the lives of people. When you share God's word with someone and they're thinking about it, their phone's going to ring or their video game thing is going to notify them that they can do something else, and their mind is going to set back to the rut that it's in the way of their living, and that thought is going to go away. Or when you're going to share the gospel, their kid's going to run up and need something, or the neighbor's going to stop by. Satan does not want God's word to go forward. But pray anyway that God's word will go forth. There are many who need to hear it. And it's amazing. You know, our words don't change people's lives. Our wisdom can't fix problems. But God's word, the Holy Bible, is the power of God unto salvation. And so when God's word is going forward, people will change. And so pray that the word of God will have free course. And pray that those obstacles will be hindered. I just was reading in Acts where the sorcerer was opposing Paul and Barnabas, and he said, you will be blind for a season. And he's cast blind, and he's led away, and that obstacle is just removed. And then the leader there, he listens with astonishment. The Bible said, and he believed. That obstacle to the word of God, God took care of it. And may we have faith, and may we pray that God's word will go forth freely. Pray that in New Hope, here in their area, and in Belize, the same, that God's word will go forward. God promised his word will not return void. So if we're preaching it, we're teaching it, we're living it, it's going forward. Pray for that free course, that people aren't blinded to the truth, but that they will respond. And so that's the third prayer request. The fourth one, right there in the same passage, verse number 2, is pray for protection. That verse continues, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Sometimes we do face challenges. As pastor's wife said, you know, there's differences in countries. Medical care is not as good, and we need protection there. And it is a blessing. We've seen God take care of our children when they've been hurt or sick, and God has led us to the right place at the right time, and we're confident in that. When we lived in the house that we're currently living in, one time I was out grocery shopping. We had just recently moved in, and I didn't have a chain to close around the gate and padlock it. I just had a big, heavy metal gate that was rolled shut. Well, a man came in and opened the gate and started walking into the house and right past our children. Elizabeth had been putting Stephen to bed, was upstairs, and heard our kids talking to someone. And she had thought there had been someone outside, but figured they would just pass on. And she comes down the stairs, and the man is walking in our house towards, just through the living room past our kids. And we're not sure what his intention was. It seemed like he might have been needing money. But she started to yell at him. And, you know, praise the Lord, he left the house. He walked out and, you know, went on his way. But, you know, situations like that is where God's hand of protection is upon our family. And so pray for that protection. Lord willing, we don't even know the ways that we've been protected. And we need God's protection. But again, the safest place to be is where the will of God is. And so we don't fear as we live in Belize, and we love the people there, and we love that location. But we want to be wise, but ultimately we trust God for his protection. So pray for protection here, pray for protection. Satan wants to attack those who are servants of God, and so we need God's protection as we fight the battle for him. And then finally this evening, turn over to John 15. And this one's not a prayer from the apostles, but it is a vital need for everyone, servants of God, laymen, all people. We need God's power. And it's this prayer request is for closeness to Christ. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus is telling his disciples really shortly before he's going to be crucified. And this is what he says in John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And listen to this, for without me, ye can do nothing. Right there, without me, we can do nothing. All of man's wisdom is pointless. It's worthless. It's nothing without the power of God. And we cannot have the power of God in our life if we're not close with him. And you say, well, but you're a missionary. You're a pastor. All you do is pray and read the Bible and serve God. But you know, there are countless things that bombard our lives and countless things that can distract us, and our vehicles can give us trouble, or people can be calling us with their problems and things that can distract us, and we could be burdened for how can I help this and how can I do that and how can I take care of all of these needs that we have and how can I manage this or what's going to pay for that. And we need to remember to be close to Jesus Christ. And so pray for that. The greatest need to keep a missionary on the mission field, to keep a pastor in ministry, to keep somebody on fire for the Lord is that closeness to God. The greatest need in your own life for a fruitful spiritual walk is closeness to Christ. And may we pray for one another that we abide in Jesus Christ. That takes time and it takes effort. It takes getting up a little bit early, staying up a little bit late, and it takes an intention. But when we are close to Christ, we can have the wonderful privilege to say to someone as they come up and they see Christ in us, Lord willing, to say, hey, that's not me. That's not me. I'm a worthless sinner, but that is Jesus Christ in me. With me, that'd be impossible, but that's Christ in me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And when people can see Christ in you, there's a power that can't be denied. And we can see that through in Belize, and as we go forward, our desire is that our church will cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we have 500 people in Faith Baptist Church, and they're just there for the potluck, and they're there for what we're doing, we're not doing anything for God. We might be able to have some fun pictures to send back, but we have nothing. But if we have 50 people who love God, who are there because they want to know Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. And pray for a closeness to Christ. Pray that we don't get distracted or depart from that. And if we are close to Christ, then we will accomplish his purposes. Pray the same for your church as well. And so there's 5 ways to pray for our church. Pray for your church as well. And on our display table there in the back, we have our prayer cards. So I have the updated, most current photo. All of them are on there, at least for now. And so take one of those prayer cards and remember us. I would say put it in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you open most and most often. And when you see it, pray for us there. And then as well, on the table, there's a pile of these pens, and it says, pray for the Scherzers in Belize. And so grab a pen and stick that in your bag or in your truck or wherever, and when you see that, just another reminder that we need your prayers. And if you have any other questions, feel free. Come by, look at the display table. We've got some things, some field guides. You can see plants and fruits and all kinds of things over there. And if you have any more questions, I'd love to talk about Belize. So thank you for your faithfulness these 5 years, and we look forward to many more years as the Lord leads us in service together. And we've been praying for you all through the search for the pastor, and it's been exciting to hear and see what the Lord is doing, and may God find us faithful when he returns. I'll have Pastor close us.